States Dressage Federation's official podcast. Hello and welcome to the program. I'm Chris Stafford. On this week's episode, Lisa Goretto, the USDF Vice President and USEF Large R Technical Delegate and Co-Chair of the USEF Dressage Committee, will be here to explain the USEF Rule Change Forum and proposals and the USEF Rule Change process. And later on, we're going to be hearing from Dr. Mike Tomlinson, who will be joining us at this year's Adequan USDF Annual Convention with a preview of his lecture, Great Riders and Great Horsemen. But first, a note on the USEF Para-Equestrian Dressage National Championships, which took place on October the 30th through November the 1st in Katy, Texas. Rebecca Hart and Shrutas Ramani earned Rebecca her seventh national championship title with an overall score of 73.33% in the CPEDI three-star competition. And you'll find the full results on the U.S. Para Equestrian Association's website at uspea.org. The USDF would like to congratulate Executive Director Stefan Hench on his induction into the University of Colorado's Athletic Hall of Fame. During his time with the university, Stefan was a member of four Colorado NCAA championship ski teams, earned four All-American honors, and captured two individual NCAA titles. And now we're joined by Lisa Goretto for the USEF rule change process and the proposals for 2016. Lisa, welcome back to the program.
Thanks so much for having me back.
Well, you're going to bring us up to date, I believe, with the latest rule change proposals, when they'll come into effect, and then they will, of course, be discussed at the upcoming Adequan USDF Annual Convention too, Lisa. So where would you like to start?
Well, I think the best place to start is to remind our USDF membership that we have added a hot link on the USDF main page that as you scroll not too far down the right side, says USDF Rule Change Proposals. And there we have in a very simple way brought all the information from the USEF site, or US Equestrian, to the USDF, Dressage Federation website. So from there, you can see the proposals that will affect the future competition scene for both the general rules and the division-specific rules for dressage. Additionally, if you are a member of USEF, you may also log on to the USEF.org site where you can make comments as an individual member on any rule change. So before I get too far, I will share how to do that. If you go to the USEF.org site and log into your account and scroll down the left side of the website, you will find Rules and Regulations. Once you get to Rules and Regulations and you click on that, if you click on Rule Changes, then all of the current proposals are separated out by chapter, and you may make a comment pro or con on any of those rule changes. But before we get too far into the rule changes that are proposed for 2016, I will mention that at the USDF meeting on Friday, that would be December 4th, I believe, we will have an open rule change forum where we will go over both general rule changes that are pertinent to dressage and the dressage-specific rule changes so that you have an opportunity, again, to discuss them amongst your peers. We don't have too many this year for dressage, but a couple of them are probably going to be hot buttons. The ones that I'm seeing now on social media would be one that proposes going forward to take the double bridle and put it back in the fourth level tests and take it out at third level. That one seems to be generating quite a bit of information and feedback. The next one that I think probably people are talking about right now is one that actually has already gone into effect, or will go into effect December 1st. It's already been passed and will go into effect December 1st for the competition year for 2016. and that is the USEF change on medications that vaccinations that are required for horses that are competing in USEF competitions. So because that one is of current interest, I'll touch on it just slightly, and that is that your horse must be vaccinated for flu and rhino, and you must be able to prove vaccination within 6 months anytime you are on the grounds of a licensed competition. So that particular rule was passed in the spring and goes into effect December 1st. There are a lot of people who are still talking about what they can do to change it. That is a rule that has already been passed and goes into effect in just a couple of weeks. So having said that, let me back up a little bit and explain a couple of the common misunderstandings in the rules that apply to competing in dressage. A lot of people refer to USDF or US Dressage Federation rules for competitions, and there are very, very few. When they write to USDF with a question about a rule, probably 90% of the time that inquiry has to be forwarded to the United States Equestrian Federation, our national governing body, because they are in fact the rulemaking body. So although you may think it has to do with your regional championship score, your qualifying, the basis of the rule book is USEF. So if you have a rule question, that is the first place that you should make your inquiry to the dressage department at USEF.org. How does the rule change process work? That is a question as a licensed official I get a lot of times. It's a little complex. As you know, the rule book gets larger and larger, not smaller and smaller. And people ask me, how in the world these things come about? Any individual member of USEF may propose a rule change. Any USEF staff or USDF as the recognized affiliate for dressage may propose a rule change. The dressage committee of USEF may propose a rule change, or any of the departments at USEF. So a typical rule change, let's use a fairly simple one. Someone thinks that you should not be able to carry a whip in a qualifying class because it's too confusing. You might carry one in your championship class and be eliminated. That used to be a rule, actually. So as an individual member of USEF, you could propose that rule change. Typically, because of social media and the increased communication we have amongst USDF members, that kind of a rule change proposal, that question might be discussed first in the Regional Championships Committee. So perhaps out of that meeting, the Regional Championships Committee would propose a rule change to the Board of Governors. If the Board of Governors agreed that that was a good thing, you should not be able to carry a whip in a qualifying class, and the Board of Governors passed it, the BOG would instruct the Executive Board to write up that rule change request and forward it to the Dressage Committee. So now the official process has started. An individual thought something, they brought it to the appropriate committee, it was discussed in the committee and the Board of Governors of USDF. It went to the Executive Board of USDF to be transmitted to the Dressage Committee of the United States Equestrian Federation. Now it becomes an in-house rule change proposal for USEF. So in the spring of the year, the Dressage Committee takes all of the proposed rule changes, writes them up in correct format, and submits them in the spring of the year. In the fall of the year, all of those rule changes are put together in what used to be called and was physically the White Book. Now, much like the rule book is no longer commonly available in hard copy, the White Book is also an online issue only, which is why we made it a little easier for USDF members by pulling all the rule change proposals together on the USDF website. So in the fall of the year, the White Book, which is not really physically printed anymore, is circulated to all committees, all affiliate organizations, and the rule change process begins for all intents and purposes to be a industry-wide discussion. Now, we're at that point now for the rule changes for 2016. We will discuss them, as I mentioned before, at the USDF annual meeting. Some will go forward with only positive comments. Some will go forward with negative comments. Once the decisions of the membership of USDF are heard, then the process moves on to the annual meeting for the United States Equestrian Federation, which happens in January of 2016 in this case. There, all the committees have an opportunity once again to weigh in. There's a little negotiating. Some drafts are usually sent forward by multiple committees if there is a discussion point on a rule change. And in the end, it goes to the Board of Directors of the United States Equestrian Federation for passage or not. And that is a very complicated, but in a nutshell, how the rule change process for USEF works. So I mentioned that we had the one hot button that I've heard about, which was the possible change of use of the double bridle, taking it out of third level and moving it back into fourth level where it used to be. The other one that I've heard a little bit of discussion about in the dressage division is there's a lot of talk in the medical professions and in equine therapy about the use of body tape and equibands. There's a proposal to have that one not be permitted on the grounds of USEF competitions. That's part of DR 121.7, if you are keeping score. We have within the dressage division another possible change that may cause a bit of discussion. And that is that a change in the definition of elimination versus disqualification. That one is important only really if you're involved in young riders or pony finals. But the substance of that rule is that if someone is attempting to qualify for young riders in a JYRC, that you can be disqualified from the class, but not eliminated from placing in class. So that in DR 124 is something that is of interest to our youth membership. Within the general rules, again, if you look at the rule change proposals, the way we have them broken down for you, they are broken down by chapter. General rules apply to all competitors in all divisions, and the division-specific rules would apply only to dressage competitions or regular competitions run under dressage division rules. So while they should be read over, I don't think we have anything major in the general rule change proposals that will have a major impact on dressage, with the possibility of one exception. If you are new to the sport or you are a GMO member and you show in schooling shows a lot, but you think you might want to try your hand at a licensed competition, currently you may do that either as a member of USEF or as a non-member. If you're a non-member, then you would show under what used to be called a non-member, but now it's called a show pass, so that you could show in that competition without being a member of USEF. There is a rule change proposal that would eliminate the non-member or show pass category. If that rule passes, then anyone who wished to show in a dressage competition as a rider, a trainer, an owner, or a coach would have to join USEF in order to do so. That is another proposal that has caused a little bit of social media discussion. I've seen a little bit of on some of the forums. I would expect that particular proposal to generate some discussion at both the Open Rule Forum, and I hope it will also generate some response from individual members that want to comment on rule changes. But that would be a significant change for competition in the U.S. The only people who would be allowed to show any USEF dressage competition would be either those entered in opportunity classes or you would have to join the federation. So in a nutshell, that's how it all works.
Well, that is very instructive and helpful, Lisa. Thank you very much indeed for taking the time to walk us through the process.
I hope that everyone who is attending the annual meeting or participating members who want to express their thoughts through their PM delegates will take the opportunity to look at the USDF.org site and click on that USEF rule change proposals and read through them carefully, because anyone who competes or anyone who is involved in show management is intimately affected by the rules.
And there will, of course, be a link in our show notes accompanying this episode. So, Lisa, thank you for coming on the program and explaining that for us.
Oh, thanks so much for inviting me, Chris.
And as Lisa mentioned, you can find a complete list of all of those rule change proposals which affect dressage and competitions by visiting the USDF rule change website. And that link will be on the front page at usdf.org. And it's time now for our education segment. Dr. Mike Tomlinson, who will be joining us at the 2015 Adequan USDF Annual Convention, presenting a lecture on great riders and great horsemen, is here with a preview of his presentation. Mike, welcome to the program.
Thank you so very much for having me on today.
Well, we're going to talk about what your presentation will be at this year's Adequan USDF Annual Convention. It's an interesting topic because you're combining two really lines of thinking here, good riding and good horsemanship.
That is the topic, and I guess what I want to point out is that the two of them are not synonymous. In dressage, we strive to be a great rider, and what we reward is being a great rider. What I want to bring out is that the rewards of being a great horseman are even greater than those of being a great rider. Kind of where I'm going with it.
And of course, you observe this constantly as you travel the world as an FEI vet and watching the quality of horsemanship around the world and the quality of riding too. So what was your basis really for thinking of this? This is a topic that needs to be addressed, Mike.
Well, the horsemanship of the great riders impacts my daily life. The better horsemen people are, the better they take care of their horses, the better their horses can compete, the less problems they have. And as an FEI veterinarian, I see the problems of the highest level of horses. And what surprises me far too frequently, not just in this country, but around the globe, how some of the highest level riders have missed some of the most simple basics about horsemanship. So in this talk, I am going to try to explain to people how important horsemanship is and how it will benefit them dramatically, individually, to become better horsemen.
And of course, this is something that is either learned or is instinctive in riders, and you see this in some of the great horsemen and women around the world, Mike, don't you, that they are fundamentally, before they're a good rider, they are basically a good horsemen and women.
Well, a great horse person does not necessarily become a great rider, and a great rider is not necessarily a great horse person. Both skills need to be worked on. Just as you can go to a riding clinic, you can go to a horsemanship course. So there are ways to improve both. You're born with great attributes, but you need to also include education to improve.
And when you look at those great riders, you know, what do you think has come first with them? Is it that they were good horsemen or women, or that they have developed that over time, in particularly in dressage, Mike?
Well, I would say that the where people come from at the very top is as varied as the number of people there are. Some people are born into it. Some people have worked their way up. Some people are very gifted, and others are not and just work their tail off. So I would not say there's any mold that they all fit into.
And do you see any changing trends as you go around the world watching, you know, the distinct difference between those two, that, as you said earlier, they're not synonymous necessarily, but have you met any real trends in that or any change in fashion, if you will, over the years?
Well, it is always tempting to say things are getting worse or, you know, the sky is falling. But really, I think back of 20 years ago, and then I look in the history books and look even farther back, and there were people who were handed a million-dollar horse years ago and ended up being great riders and horrible horsemen. Nothing has changed, really. This is more just a reminder to everyone how important horsemanship is.
Give us, if you will, not too much. We don't want you to give away too much of the presentation because we're looking forward to that, of course, but maybe some headlines of as to how you've broken this down, Mike.
As far as breaking it down, what I'm trying to point out is how being a great horseman can improve your horse's life, which will improve your riding, which will improve your scores. And I want to draw a direct correlation between your horsemanship and your ability to achieve high scores.
Well, there's lots to think about within that, Mike, and we look forward to it. So thank you very much indeed for coming on the program this week and teasing us as to what we can expect at your presentation.
I look forward to seeing everybody in Las Vegas at the USDF convention. Thank you.
And you'll find the full schedule of meetings and educational presentations at this year's Adequan USDF Annual Convention, which takes place in Las Vegas, Nevada, from December the 2nd through the 5th. That's all on the website, on the convention page. If you go to usdf.org, just follow the link there to convention. And you can take advantage of the reduced advance online rate by registering by November the 28th on the website. And if you've not already done so, please remember to renew your USDF participating membership at the USDF website by December 31st. And those of you who do so will receive a $10 gift certificate from Dover Saddlery. But only members who renew by that date will receive the 2015 yearbook issue of the USDF Connection magazine. All members who renew for 2016 will enjoy savings with USDF Member Perks Partners. And again, you can find more information on the website about these programs at usdf.org. And whilst you're on the website, be sure to check out all the latest educational information for dressage riders on the eTrack pages, the USDF's online learning center and resource for education. That's it for this week's program. Don't forget you can download this podcast from the iTunes store to any podcast app. Until next week, thank you for listening wherever you are in the world. And remember, the USDF is your connection to the American dressage community.